Now you don't have to stay linked to your desktop or laptop. Take Voice America on the go and listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
The following program is being brought to you on the Seventh Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Good morning, and welcome to Being Here with host Ariel and Shia Kane. The Kanes will take you on an exciting exploration, which will open the door to living in the moment. Now, here are your hosts, Ariel and Shia.
Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening. Wherever you are on this lovely planet of ours, I'm Ariel.
I'm Shia.
And welcome to Being Here.
Right.
Today's show is on natural knowing.
Now, what is natural knowing?
Natural knowing is not the knowledge type, the stuff that you accumulate over time.
See, your body has been here forever, one form or another. You know, we didn't just show up here on our birthdays. Our parents
got together.
Had sex.
Two live sex cells got together.
And you were formed. But their parents did that too. So your body is an extension of all of the people who came before. And there is an intelligence in your cellular structure that allows you to know things that you don't have knowledge to substantiate. And that's what we mean by natural knowing. You might call it intuition.
Well, you know, I know we generally start with listening and all that, but...
And we're going to go there.
All right, let's go there first.
Sorry? Go there second.
Okay, we'll go there second. I was just realizing that the internet, which is how you're getting this show, is an amazing tool because there's all this information out there and you just have to turn your attention to it and you're connected to it. And a lot of you are listening to this show wirelessly, which means that the information is going through time and space. You have an interconnectivity to your universe that connects up to the cellular structure in your body. You're like one big giant receiver. So you know things. Our minds are filled with data, and sometimes that data gets in the way.
Right.
So let's talk about how to get the most out of this show today.
Well, how to get the most out of the show today is how to get the most out of your life.
And also how to access natural knowing.
Is by listening. Now, most of us listen, see whether or not we agree or disagree with what's being said. Most of us think about what's being said rather than actually listen to it, to hear it from the speaker's point of view. So today, suspend your mind's propensity to finish our sentences, think you already know this, and see if you can just let what's being said in. I promise you, you will not get brainwashed by hearing another point of view about disagreeing or agreeing with it.
Well, actually, I think a lot of us could use a good brainwashing.
I think so, too, but...
Because given the garbage that plays through most people's mind, to have it washed out might be a relief.
That's true. That's really true. Okay. So, listening is setting aside what you think you know and actually hearing what another person has to say, even if it's not in agreement with your way of looking at life.
Great. Let's talk about our approach. Our approach is not psychotherapeutic. It is anthropological. And an anthropologist is a person who studies cultures or who is interested in how a culture is put together. And you can be your own personal anthropologist and a scientist, study a culture of one yourself and get interested in how it's put together without judging what you see. Great.
I see.
So, there are three basic principles to instantaneous transformation.
The first one is anything you resist, persist, grow stronger, and dominates your life.
Yes, that's the first thing.
I think they should be.
We just had a little discussion with our tech over the phone. They can hear, we just can't hear them.
Oh, great.
Yeah,
great,
not
great,
right
great.
Now. We have some guests calling in, and they're on the line holding, but they're muted, so
I
you
see.
Can't hear them just yet.
I see. Okay, yeah. good. Okay, first principle, anything you resist, persist, grow stronger, dominates your life.
Great. So if you're fighting with anything, it eats up your mental computer, it eats up your life.
And it's what you're stuck with. Anything you say no to, get stuck with it. It's like pushing against something. The more you push against it, the more you're attached to what you say you don't want. So if there's anything in your life that you're resisting, saying no to, that will persist, it will grow stronger, and it will be all you can think about.
Second principle, you can only be as you are, where you are, how you are in any given moment. And the other thing is, no two things can occupy the same space at the same time, which is why we took a little pause a moment ago, because we got an instant message from our tech, and it was confusing to Shai, so I needed to explain it to him so he wouldn't be thinking about that, because you can't be thinking about something
and actually listening at the same time, because your mind can only deal with one function at a time, including you multitaskers out there. You can only do one thing at a time. You may have a lot of plates juggled in the air, but it doesn't mean that you're handling each one of them all the time. You're only handling one thing at a time. So when you're thinking about something, it clouds your ability to listen. What you have to do in listening is put your attention on what's being said to hear it, not think about whether you agree or disagree.
Boy, that's challenging. Because you're smart. Your mind is like this infinitely fast microprocessor, and it can jump back and forth, toggle between ideas very, very quickly. You can follow a tangent in your mind and be gone. So it's really about harnessing your attention, directing it purposefully, being back to exactly what's happening and not thinking about what's happening.
Right.
That's the second principle. Third principle. Is anything you allow to be exactly as it is ceases to dominate your life? It completes itself.
So yeah, anything you allow, without judging, to be like it is, leaves you alone. Like the first principle is anything you resist, you're stuck to. Anything you allow to be allows you to be. Then you're not dominated by what you allow.
As you were talking about that, Shai, I just had something occur to me in regards to natural knowing. And I realized that a lot of natural knowing gets inhibited for people because they're so busy focusing on their goals. They're so
right.
busy going somewhere well, that they don't hear the natural input their environment's giving them right now.
Right. Well, the other piece of it is if you're thinking about things, and you're thinking through what you already know to see how what's being said fits in, you can't access your natural knowing because your mind is occupied with what it already knows.
We have a caller on the line. Shall we take her?
Yes.
Excellent. Andrea, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, where are you calling in from?
I'm calling in from Basel, Switzerland, from my sofa.
Ah, from your,
sofa.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. It was just nice listening to you guys.
Excellent.
And, yeah, it's really cool because I feel like my natural knowing sometimes goes away when I'm going somewhere.
Yes.
When I'm trying to get somewhere, as I was thinking what I will say on this show now and stuff like that, that happens a lot to me.
Yes.
But I feel like I have this natural knowing, and I start to discover it at the moment. I feel like it's getting stronger, or I just noticed it more than I ever did before. For instance, that I'm very connected with people.
Yes.
Sometimes I just call them at the right time when they just wanted to call me or texted me. And the funny thing is with my students, I'm a voice teacher, and sometimes I just know when somebody will not show up for a lesson on a day.
Right.
I just know in the morning. It is really cool.
It is pretty cool.
Yeah.
But I like that thing that you said about how you call people when they're there to receive your call.
Yeah, that happens a lot. That's pretty cool. I like that.
That's great.
Mhm. And I don't even think about it. It's more like something that pops up. It's not like a thought process, but it's more like a thing, and then, okay. And sometimes it's little, and I can easily dismiss it. When I'm going somewhere, I feel like I dismiss it sometimes.
Yes.
I love what you're saying, because you're actually giving the listeners today a lot of clues what to look at. And that is that your natural knowing does not appear through your thought process. That it's spontaneous, it's like effervescent, like a bubble rising through water. It's like a bing, and if you're preoccupied going somewhere, you will miss it.
Yeah, I have an example. I was at my cousin's place the other day, and I plugged my iPhone at her place with my recharger, and as I plugged it in, this thing said, maybe you will forget it later. And that often happens. And then I know I have to make sure that I will not forget it, or write something down, or tell her that I make sure that I will take it with me. And I just dismissed it. And I forgot it afterwards. And that is something that was so familiar to me. It was just like, oh, no, I don't want to hear that. Or I just didn't notice it.
Right.
Well, you noticed it, but it was inconvenient in some way.
You wanted
yes.
to get on to your visit with your cousin, or you didn't want to think that you would be that silly, or however you dismiss it.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And my question actually was, how can I be more consistent in noticing it? And I feel like you...
It sounds like you... In noticing, you are consistent in noticing it, but you have a certain resistance to acting upon it.
Well, that's true. But there is this, if you're busy going somewhere, if you have another agenda, then you mm-hmm. won't listen to your own natural knowing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so
true.
If it says, I might leave this, then it's a perfect opportunity for you to take your phone and wrap the cord around it a few times so it's difficult for you to just remove it, like a visual
yeah.
thing. It would have taken you maybe 3-5 seconds
mm-hmm.
but a post-it. But oftentimes, like Shai just said, when you're busy going somewhere, those things are inconvenient.
Well, not only that, it's like you're your television can only be on one channel at a time.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're engaged on one channel, you miss what's happening through the other channels. And your natural knowing is like another universe that exists simultaneously to the one you normally live in.
It just reminded me of a situation I had with a student. I was resisting something she was saying to me, and it felt like I hadn't, in that moment, I absolutely lost the access of being present with her and talking in an authentic way. And it feels just like this, that when I say no to that and I just miss it.
Right.
Well, I think sometimes people wonder why every single show we talk about listening. But it is the skill set.
It is so critical. Mm-hmm. Say we finish each other's sentences.
But we
do that too. It is so critical to being present in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and you know, people wonder why other people sometimes say the same things to them over and over and over again.
Yeah, that reminds me of my grandma. My grandma, she's this lovely 87-year-old woman, and we had this thing in our family that she will always repeat herself, and that when you call her, it will take long and everything. And as I started working with you guys and coming to your workshops, usually when I call her, now I just listen to her and she tells me how her day was and what she's doing and what she's on planning to do. And it's so easy and it's natural. Then it ends naturally and it starts naturally. And it's very different than it used to be.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Really?
Yeah, that's very lovely.
Andrea, we need to take a break here shortly. Are you available to come back with us after the break?
Yes, I am. I'd love to.
Excellent. We'd love to have you back. So?
Thank you.
Yes. We're going to go to commercial break, so
come on back.
And don't miss
being here.
The Voice America 7th Wave Channel. Seek greater awareness.
Want success in every part of your life? Then join the club, the Excellence Club, the Cane's online community of people bringing excellence to all aspects of their lives. Call and ask questions on being here. Write comments on the Transformational Moments blog and take excellence to a new level in the Premium Excellence Club. Get the newest articles, podcasts, and weekly videos, plus enlightening advice. Join at transformationmadeeasy.com by clicking on the Excellence Club. That's transformationmadeeasy.com, the Excellence Club.
Success, health, satisfaction. Now you can have it all. Ariel and Shia Kane make it easy with award-winning books like How to Create a Magical Relationship, winner of the Nautilus Book Award, Being Here, a collection of stories that inspire, amuse, entertain, and enlighten the soul, or their groundbreaking Working on Yourself Doesn't Work, the three simple ideas that will instantaneously transform your life. These important books will hand you the keys to instantaneous transformation, unlocking new possibilities for health, wealth, and satisfaction in all areas of your life. And attend the Cane's fun, interactive workshops in New York, Germany, or even Costa Rica. Experience a quantum shift in your quality of life as you connect with a vital, supportive community and discover your own greatness. The Cane's books and seminars are the perfect enhancements to their radio show, Being Here. Why not have it all? It's as easy as visiting TransformationMadeEasy.com. That's TransformationMadeEasy.com.
Ready to be inspired, entertained, and enlightened? Let award-winning authors Ariel and Shia Kane support you in discovering a state of well-being that in the past was rarely, if ever, achieved. Now you too can experience Ariel and Shia's revolutionary new technology, Instantaneous Transformation, that has helped thousands discover how to have more satisfying lives without working on themselves or their problems. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com to receive free audio downloads and to sign up for the Cane's weekly newsletter featuring articles, inspiring quotes, and stories from real people just like you who have discovered enlightenment through the Cane's approach. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com. TransformationMadeEasy.com.
This is the 7th Wave Channel on the Voice America Network.
You are listening to Being Here with hosts Ariel and Shia Kane. If you would like to participate in today's conversation, please call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. Again, 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back to Being Here.
Welcome back.
A couple of things coming up for us. If you'd like to join us in person, we are doing a Step Into Your Brilliance course starting next week in Cambridge, June 22nd through 24th. There's still space for you. You can go up on our website, transformationmadeeasy.com, under seminars, and check it out, register if you'd like to come. Creativity and Intuition in New York City is happening in July, the 27th, 29th, and it's been a really excellent place to experiment with and play with your natural knowing and expand your ability to
trust yourself. I like that.
Yeah.
Because it's really about trusting what you know. We've been all taught what we're supposed to know in school and like that, but there is this natural cellular memory that holds information that you have no proof for, but somehow you just know, like when to call somebody, as Andrea.
Speaking of Andrea, are you still with us?
I'm here. Hello.
Excellent. That was very sweet what you had to say in the last segment about your grandma.
Yeah, that's just lovely. And the relationship with her really changed. It became more close because we weren't that close before. And now I'm able to listen to her and it's just sweet.
Very nice.
Yeah, it's lovely.
That is lovely. Oh, it's lovely having you on the show today.
Thank you. It was nice speaking to you.
You know, when you make those little mistakes have the thought, oh, I might leave this here, and then you do, or you aren't listening to your student. All that is you just telling you that you're a little ahead of yourself. And it's just an indicator to slow down just a touch.
Yeah, it's like a barometer. It tells
cool.
you the your barometric pressure.
You know, in our kitchen, we have a really cool little gizmo. Outside our house, we have a thermometer,
a sensor,
and inside the house, we have a sensor. So this thing on the wall registers what the temperature is outside our house and the temperature inside the house, and also the barometric pressure. So it tells us whether the pressure is going up, you're getting toward a high pressure, and moving toward clear skies, or whether the pressure is going down and you're moving toward gloomy skies. And it's not saying,
this
is bad and this is good. It's just an indicator what direction
the weather is moving. And if you take your own internal weather scope and see how you're doing, when you are lost in your thoughts, your ability to be in touch with your natural knowing just dissolves. You don't have it. But no two things can occupy the same Andrea at the same time. If she's busy worrying about something, her ability to access her natural knowing is diminished.
If you think of it more like a weather report rather than bad news, it's going to be supportive of you.
Thank you. That's a great idea. Thanks.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling into the show today.
Thank you very much.
Excellent.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
We have another caller.
Yeah, let's take her.
Mary, are you?
Yes, I am. I'm here.
Hi, where are you calling in from?
St. Paul, Minnesota.
St. Paul. I've never been to St. Paul. We'll have to come visit someday.
You will. Yes, hopefully we can, down the road, have a good reason for you to come, like a workshop or something.
Oh, that would
be lovely.
I was listening to Andrea, and... yeah, she said a lot of what I was thinking about, but I think sometimes I have trouble either differentiating between a thought or a natural knowing, or I second guess whether it's really intuition or not.
Well, I think you second guess yourself a lot.
Yeah.
So that you'd second guess whether it's a thought or natural knowing is not surprising, because you second guess yourself.
Right.
So there may be a game that you could play that would allow you to dissolve your habituated second-guessing of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that would look something like that when you go to a restaurant to eat, for instance, and you pick something off the menu, then once the food comes, you don't second-guess yourself that you should have ordered something else.
Mm-hmm.
Once you put on an outfit and you head out of the house, that you don't second guess whether or not you're wearing the right thing because you're already out of the house.
Right.
If you start with the little minutia things, you know, because Shai and I often go to, like when we're working in New York City, we eat out. And so on any given night, we'll make an order. And sometimes the food comes and it's not as tasty as I might have envisioned from the menu, or Shai might have ordered something that when I sample it, it tastes better to me than what I ordered myself. And then right there is that departure point. And in that departure point, you could call it second-guessing yourself, like, oh, I should have gotten X. Mm-hmm. But I really think I should have gotten what Shai has on his plate is code for feeling sorry for yourself.
Mm.
And I think that you've been dipped in a culture that has lots of hidden ways of feeling sorry for itself. And I'd get interested in all those ways. It's kind of like when you're doing a house cleaning. Part of the idea of cleaning a house is to get rid of the stuff you don't need anymore. So then you open a drawer and it's your junk drawer. You can either feel sorry for yourself that it's in there, or you can recognize that that's actually what you're doing. You open that drawer with the purpose of seeing what you need and what you don't.
Hmm.
And I just have a feeling, particularly because I know that you're not in a really strong transformational community. You don't have a lot of people around you to help you hold the space of transformation.
Mm-hmm.
Although I know you're really interconnected on the internet. By the way, everybody, that's a great tool. I know I spoke about it earlier, but like we have Transformation Made Easy Facebook page there, channel. You can connect up with people and share yourself that way. It's a great way to...
Well, we also have a blog on our website that
people
around the world write into.
So mm-hmm. there are ways that you can connect with people who aren't in the city or town that you're in. But I think there are times when left to your own devices, Mary, that your thought processes devolve down into feeling sorry for yourself.
Yeah, I
agree. You also get lost in the idea that you've done your life wrong.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, the second principle says no two things can occupy the same space at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're thinking that you've done your life wrong, then you're wasting this moment of your life complaining about what you can't do anything about because you've already lived your life the way you have.
Right, right.
And the other part of that second principle, which I find so interesting, is that you can't have done your life wrong because you can't do this moment wrong. You can only be exactly as you are in the current moment of your life. And if that's the case, you could have only been the way you were in any previous moment of your life.
Right.
So maybe, Mary, mm-hmm. it's time to be kind to yourself. Now, that may not be the subject of today's show, but I'll tell you something. When you're being kind to yourself, your ability to access your natural knowing is much more acute.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Your natural knowing really gets blocked when you're being right about something, and that can be even include being right about the story of who you are, because we all have fairly carefully constructed, well, they could be thrown together ideas of who we are, but we're usually pretty attached to those stories and ideas.
even if it's not in our best interest, even if the story is full of our shortcomings, our perceived shortcomings.
Well, here's an example. For instance, with you, you have a dating history. Mm-hmm. You may suddenly just catch eyes with a gentleman and you have the thought, wow, this person could be really good for me. But in falls, then very quickly right behind that, your knowledge about you and your dating history or your relationship history or who you think you are or who am I to be able to go up and say to this person, hey, you know, would you like to go out for a cup of coffee? That whole second guess thing jumps in.
Oh, yeah.
And you see, the thing is this. You have another handicap, Mary. That's your intelligence. You're very smart. And it's a handicap because you filter your experience through what you already know. Mm-hmm. So, see, the thing with natural knowing is it's illogical and it's unreasonable. Now, you can get a hit of information that you have no data to substantiate. I'll tell you, I remember once we were in New York City and we spent the night at some friend's apartment, and it was like 6 o'clock in the morning, and I woke up, and I thought, I really should call this fellow Bill.
We had spoken to Bill in many months.
And I said,
He rolled over and woke me up.
I waited until 7 o'clock in the morning, and I called him up. And he said, you know something, Shia? I almost answered the phone, hello, Shia. I wanted to speak to you so much.
Wow.
Now, that was one of those things where if I were preoccupied in what I was doing that day or doubting myself whether I could call up at that hour, you know, 7 o'clock in the morning, it was pretty early, then I never would have given myself permission to give this guy a call, but he really wanted to speak with me.
And he didn't know where we were because we weren't at a place where he would normally be able to reach us.
And he was a physicist, and he used to tell me how much he hated that I had information, or I would say things that I had no data to substantiate, and it was always right.
Right.
Because as a physicist, he was used to having scientific evidence that was provable over and over. Like if you take a glass of water and you push it, you put it on a table, and you push it to the edge, the moment it gets more than 50% over the edge, it's going to tip over every time. It's replicatable. Mm-hmm. Where natural knowing seems to be less controllable and more capricious.
Right.
And if you're trying to prove it to be true, then you're no longer in natural knowing. You're in your knowledge base being right about something.
Right.
And natural knowing is blocked by being right. So you're very likely to get egg on your face when you're trying to prove something to yourself with your creativity and intuition.
With what you know, you get in the way of what you could know.
I see that.
You know, because whenever I have information about a person, it influences how I see them, and that information might be incorrect. But with natural knowing, you don't have any information. It comes as a full-blown, it isn't logical, it isn't figured out. It comes as a full-blown statement of fact. And you can either distrust that, and then you're not in tune with your natural knowing, or you can trust it. But it starts by trusting you.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And what you don't realize, Mary, is you're trustworthy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the reason you don't realize that all the time is because your story gets in the way. And each of us have a story, and the story is mainly comprised of our limitations or the things we perceive as our limitations.
And decisions that we made at a very much younger age that roll forward over time, and they get processed over and over again in the current moment as though they're true.
Right.
So any decisions you made about yourself, you look to prove right in the way you operate in your current circumstances.
Right. I can see it at work. I'm constantly judging myself. It's a toggle switch. I'm either okay or I'm not okay.
Well,
but it's a constant judgment.
Yeah, I think what you just said is at least slightly inaccurate. You said I'm okay or not okay, and it's a toggle switch. That I can get. But when you say constantly...
That's not accurate.
You don't... That idea precludes seeing the times when you're right on, spot on.
Right. But you see, that idea is proving itself to be right, so it ignores all the times that you are brilliant.
And that is part of the feel sorry for yourself story I was talking about. It's the poor me, the woe me. Aren't I just not up to snuff?
Okay. Yeah, I see it.
Isn't that neat?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's making my head spin.
Well, we'll give you a chance to rest your head and keep it spinning, but we're going to take a break. How's
come
that?
Come back with us after the break?
Yes, please.
Okay, excellent.
We'll be back shortly.
So, come on back and don't miss being here.
Visionary. Be extraordinary. Be the change. This is the Seventh Wave Channel on the Voice America Network. Want success in every part of your life? Then join the club, the Excellence Club, the Cane's online community of people bringing excellence to all aspects of their lives. Call and ask questions on being here. Write comments on the Transformational Moments blog and take excellence to a new level in the Premium Excellence Club. Get the newest articles, podcasts, and weekly videos, plus enlightening advice. Join at transformationmadeeasy.com by clicking on the Excellence Club. That's transformationmadeeasy.com, the Excellence Club.
Success, health, satisfaction. Now you can have it all. Ariel and Shia Kane make it easy with award-winning books like How to Create a Magical Relationship, winner of the Nautilus Book Award, Being Here, a collection of stories that inspire, amuse, entertain, and enlighten the soul, or their groundbreaking Working on Yourself Doesn't Work, the three simple ideas that will instantaneously transform your life. These important books will hand you the keys to instantaneous transformation, unlocking new possibilities for health, wealth, and satisfaction in all areas of your life. And attend the Cane's fun, interactive workshops in New York, Germany, or even Costa Rica. Experience a quantum shift in your quality of life as you connect with a vital, supportive community and discover your own greatness. The Cane's books and seminars are the perfect enhancements to their radio show, Being Here. Why not have it all? It's as easy as visiting TransformationMadeEasy.com. That's TransformationMadeEasy.com.
Ready to be inspired, entertained, and enlightened? Let award-winning authors Ariel and Shia Kane support you in discovering a state of well-being that in the past was rarely, if ever, achieved. Now you too can experience Ariel and Shia's revolutionary new technology, Instantaneous Transformation, that has helped thousands discover how to have more satisfying lives without working on themselves or their problems. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com to receive free audio downloads and to sign up for the Cane's weekly newsletter featuring articles, inspiring quotes, and stories from real people just like you who have discovered enlightenment through the Cane's approach. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com. TransformationMadeEasy.com.
This is the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel.
Listening to Being Here with hosts Ariel and Shia Kane. If you would like to participate in today's conversation, please call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. Again, 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back to Being Here. By the way, as we were talking about the internet and this great connection that we have, there is a transformational way you can connect up with people that people in our community have started. And it's on the meetup groups. If you haven't ever visited Meetup, it's a great place to get together with people of a like mind. You can just go on the internet to meetup.com. And they've started groups called Say Yes to Your Life. And I know that Mary, around her, they've started one, Say Yes to Your Life Minneapolis. There's one in Hong Kong. They're in Hamburg. They're all over the Germany. They're all over the place, New York City. So if you want to know if there's a Say Yes to Your Life meetup group near you, you can go to our website, transformationmadeeasy.com. On the left-hand side under seminars, you can pull the pull-down menu and you'll see the thing that says Say Yes to Your Life meetup groups. And you can check. And if there's not, you're welcome to start one yourself. People there will, who've been doing them will certainly be willing to share with you what works and support each other. It's really a wonderful resource, so you're invited. I'm really excited for people, and part of it is that I'm excited about it is that each of you are your own light, and transformation is yours. It's not just Ariel and Shia's. I know that people call into this show to strengthen their skill set for being here, but lots of times you are going to discover how much has happened for you when you share it with other people.
Yeah, you discover it's yours.
And you discover things that you would normally assign to me or to Shia are coming out of your mouth and your truth.
And it's your experience.
And
because, you see, what we talk about mostly is natural knowing. And each of us have our own plug into the universe, and we all belong here, deserve to be here. It's not a mistake that you are here at this time on this planet.
So whether you choose to do it via the meetup or coming to our seminars or any other way, you're welcome to write on our site up in, on Facebook and share things that were on our blog. Articulate yourself. Share yourself. It'll make this experience of transformation strong for you. And transformation is really a communicable key. Still with us, Mary?
I'm still here, yes.
Excellent. How are you doing?
Good, good.
Your head stopped spinning a little bit?
Yes. And I'm you know, my first thought was a thought, oh, how do I do this? And it's like, stop.
Good for
well,
you.
Well, that's great. Because, you see, transformation is not about doing things. It's about being where you are when you're doing things. It's about being present in the current moment of your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm finding that in smallish ways of doing a task for someone else, calling it work. Work is odious. There's my theme song. But just recently, just doing it because it's in front of me to do, and it's not odious. It's actually quite pleasant, sometimes pleasurable.
I got to tell you something.
Yippee.
That's not a small thing. That is huge. It really is, Mary.
Most people have an odious life.
That's right.
Think how much time you spend at work.
Complaining that they have to be at work. Whereas if you discover that all you have to do is what's right in front of you, that's enough to have your life be magical.
You know, I actually like working so much that I have to pay attention. My natural knowing is a little in reverse. When I find myself either in front of emails or writing or doing things, and I'm making lots of typos,
mm-hmm.
I've usually passed the threshold of effectiveness. I've gotten tired or weary, and I either need to take a break or stop for the day. Part of natural knowing has to do with your body sense as well. So I love that you're starting to catch that when you're really invested in work, it's pleasant. For me, there's no difference between work and play. I love when we go out on the stream or Shia and I are being together intimately or we're making a meal or I'm doing my emails. I love all of it. There's not this mind-based...
Preferential-based...
What do you call it? Segmentation, where you compartmentalize it.
Mm. Right, where this is good and that's bad. It's all what needs to get done, and if you bring yourself to it and do it, it's pleasurable. And if you resist it, it's painful. And that's the whole thing. People's lives are in pain when they're resisting what's there to be done.
Yeah, sometimes I give myself, you know, we have a day off, and one of the things that's really fun for me on a day off is my day off is I'm not doing anything that doesn't appear as fun. And sometimes I'll want to come up in the midst of my, quote, day off and do some emails because it's more fun than leaving them sit there for another day. Right. Not always. I often, you know, make myself
You're
take
actually pretty good at it, at leaving them alone.
Take an electronic break.
Right.
I think that's good for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard you say before, when you take a break, take a break.
You betcha.
And when you work, work. And,
yep.
And I got caught up a week or two ago in whatever, drama, whatever, and I was just amazed when I got out of it how much time it took.
That's right.
To be in the drama and how little I got done.
Well, that's how you waste your life, getting lost in drama. Hey, we have another caller, Mary.
So we need to go. So,
thank you
so
much for calling in.
Well, thank you. It was lovely speaking to you, and thank you for your thoughts.
You're very
welcome.
Bye.
Bye.
We have Hallie on the other
line. Hi there.
Hi.
Hi.
Tell people where you're calling in from.
I am calling from Newport Beach, California today.
Well, we're kind of spanning the world.
We are. From Switzerland to California.
Nice to hear your voice, Hallie.
Thank you. Thank you. It's nice to be here again.
Excellent. What can we do for you?
Well, from the topic to listening to the other two callers, I kind of feel like my question has sort of evolved. And what I'm wondering is how can you, following the concept of being here and being present and listening to people, whether it's dating or in my job, I'm in sales, so I meet with a lot of people for the first time, and I'm actively trying to be present and listening to them. But how can you tell if you're following something that's part of your natural knowing versus prejudging based on your past experiences?
Good question.
Well, the first thing that comes up for me is if you're following your natural knowing, you never have to be right.
Okay.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to lead to a result.
So, like...
A preferential result.
Yeah, one of the last things Mary said right before she got off was how she'd wasted time by being in drama. Dramas only happen when you're being right about something. So, if that is definitely not your natural knowing, that is your mind.
Okay.
And the other thing is, I think if you start to pay attention, you will get your answer for yourself, because in my experience, it feels different in my body when I'm accessing my thoughts, when I'm accessing that those intuitive hunches.
Uh-huh.
And it'll take you slowing down a little bit. You know, not a lot.
Like 2% or
3 or 4%.
Yeah.
Not much, but slowing down enough that you catch up with the current moment.
Mm-hmm.
You're out ahead of yourself most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
You're in a race to get to what you think is more important than where you are, and that robs you of well. First off, you can't really get in touch with your natural knowing, because that needs you to be present to it. But it robs you of satisfaction.
Well, let's talk about sales for a minute. And I know you know that there are two types of listening. There's probably more, but there are two types of listening and sales I want to talk about. One is where you're listening to your client, holding on to your agenda of making a sale. So you're not actually truly listening to what they have to say. You're trying to manipulate it around to the outcome you want to have.
And you're looking for entryways out of what they say into introducing your agenda.
True.
And when people are stuck there or fall into there out of survival or for whatever other reason they happen to be upset that day, do not have the access way to natural knowing, or more like what Andrea was talking about. If you do, if it does kind of rear its head, you're likely to ignore it. And then the other way of listening is to know you obviously have the agenda to make a sale, because you wouldn't be there if you didn't have that agenda, and they wouldn't be there if they didn't have a need. But where you set that aside to truly hear what another person has to say.
And if you do that, they'll sell themselves.
Right.
And from time to time, you won't have a sale, but it will feel better to both, because it's what's appropriate and best rather than you trying to wedge yourself in.
And here's the other thing. So many times, we have been in a store where a sales clerk tries to sell us something, and we leave the store. And had they let us be, we would have definitely bought something in that store.
And sometimes when people really listen to us, you know, we walk in the store and we don't really have an intention of buying, but they're really there, or they're really listening, then I start looking around to see, well, what can I get? You know, how can I
support this person?
Yeah, because we created a relationship. So I really think that going forward thing, particularly if you have several sales calls in a day, or you're busy, or you have the quota for the week, it's so easy to be driving forward to produce that. If, for instance, it wasn't so long ago, there was a fellow who's come to some of our workshops, and I was talking to him on Monday night. And I asked him, hey, are you coming to the next weekend? And he smiled really big. He said, I asked him if he was registered for the next weekend. He smiled really big. He said, no, I'm not, and I'm not planning on coming. And I said, well, great. That's cool. We won't hold it against you.
You know, it's really funny.
And I really meant it.
Wait, when you said, I had no idea where you were going.
Right.
But when you said, a fellow at one of our Monday nights,
you pictured him.
I absolutely got the picture. So, you know, like, I absolutely knew who you were going to talk about. And we've met, you know, hundreds, thousands of people on Monday nights. And to pull this particular one definitely had to do with our natural knowing.
And, you know, when he said, I'm not coming, I was really happy for him, because he was obviously doing what he wanted to do. And had he wanted to come, I would have absolutely been there to support him in making that happen.
Right.
And the other thing, in my natural knowing, I knew I needed to ask him, because it was between him and me, like where he was holding on to that he wasn't coming and he hadn't told anybody yet. And he had some concerns about, I don't know what his concerns were, but completing it had us be closer rather than avoiding a topic because I might not like the answer.
Mm-hmm.
Natural knowing is not agenda-driven.
So if you think about trying to get some outcome to happen, then you're clearly not in your natural knowing.
Our preferences and hidden agendas get in the way.
Right.
So if I had an agenda to make sure I stuck another body in a course, then I would have been unhappy with what he had to say.
Right.
Because then I wouldn't have been listening to him, the individual, and see what was true for him. And in my body, I got happier when he said no.
Yes. Because it was his truth.
Yeah.
And, you know, the other thing is, one of our things is not to have people come to our courses for us, but for them. So if somebody doesn't really want to be there, they shouldn't be.
Or if that weekend doesn't work for them, they shouldn't be.
Right.
And then sometimes I know there are people who just won't give it to themselves, and they're not happy with their choice. And I can respect that also. I love looking and seeing, knowing things my body rather than through my mind.
And how you access this place of creativity and natural knowing, they happen when you are present in the current moment of your life. That's the access way in. That's when you've turned your tuner to the channel that allows it to come in. Because if you're not present it can't get in.
I actually want to circle back around to something Shia said earlier, because we have about a minute left in the show. Something that is so important to your natural knowing, and that is being kind to yourself.
Yep.
If you're being hard on yourself about anything, then you're not in the moment, you're not being present, you're locked in resisting something.
And you're lost in a right-wrong dynamic of how you should have or could have or how it should be, rather than being with your life as it is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's critical.
Ali, I really appreciate that.
Yes.
You called in today.
Thank you so much for calling in. Really.
Thank
really
you.
A pleasure. Real pleasure to speak with you.
Yes. And I loved your question.
Thank you both.
Yeah,
you're
thank
welcome.
You. We'll be back next week, everybody. And we hope you'll be back with us.
Yeah, so come on back and don't miss
being
here.
We hope you have enjoyed today's episode of Being Here. If you would like to learn more about instantaneous transformation, visit the Canes website at www.transformationmadeeasy.com. Transformationmadeeasy.com. Be sure to tune in next Wednesday for another exciting and empowering episode of Being Here.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Seventh Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.